So how are you this morning? Yeah, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. That was weak, man. Weak, Mark. I'm going to the house. Is it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know you're a little drowsy, but it's okay. We're going to be fine. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to, while the kids are continuing to come and we get everything. Does everybody have a number four? That's this week's journey. Number four. Everybody got one? If you do not have one, raise your hand. And the ushers, here's one on the front here almost. There's another one. So hold it up high where they can spot you. Not everybody here is in the teenagers here. Some of the ushers are needing bifocals. Number four. Okay, that's the one you're going to need today. Now, let me say this. If you haven't been here, if you missed last week, or which is week three, if you missed the week before that, you need one, sweetheart? Get Bill to Jimmy when he comes by. Tackle him if you have to, okay? Every week, is building on the previous weeks, okay? So each week, we've been just stacking the building blocks. And so if you didn't get there, if you haven't been here, we've got not only the handouts, but we also have the CDs for you as well. I encourage you to get them and one by one work through them. Last week, I thought it was a blast. I thought it was great as we took time to write down what we believe was our story. And to hear several of you share those stories. Now, y'all going to have to, let me go ahead and give a disclaimer this morning. I got a little NyQuil hangover. Anybody ever had a NyQuil hangover? You can have a NyQuil hangover sitting there. It's tough to have a NyQuil hangover up here because you never know what's going to come out, okay? So I'm going to do my best to stay on point today and not try to embarrass myself or my dear wife or family, okay? So bear with me this morning if I tend to stumble over my words. I'm still working through that fog, if you would. Already dropping stuff on the floor. That's going to be an exciting morning. I can tell you that now. But we're going to build, and we're going to go back for very quickly this morning and kind of retrace our steps, if you don't mind. Because if you remember, as we worked through the first few weeks, the first week we looked at why aren't we witnessing? What's going on in us? I mean, here we have the gift of God in Christ Jesus in our lives. We've been saved. Our lives have been transformed by the power of Jesus. And yet we don't seem to be telling people. We're not sharing our faith. We're not telling them what Christ has done for us. I'm not saying judging people. We're not here to judge people. God takes care of that stuff. But why don't we tell more people what he's done for us? And we spent a little time over the few weeks studying that. And the first one was that sometimes Christians just ignore or misunderstand the commands of the Lord Jesus. And we all agree. Now, the scriptures do teach that some have the gift of evangelism. There is a spiritual gift that God gives to men and women that where they have a burden to share the gospel. They want to see people saved. And if you've got the gift of evangelism, and I know some folks here in our church do, that's their soul. Their heart just beats to see people saved. And it doesn't matter who it is. If they stand still long enough, they'll tell them about Jesus. Well, that's that gift of evangelism. It's a spiritual gifting from God. Not everybody has that gift. And some people say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. But what we learned in Acts 1 was that, yeah, we might not all be or might not all have the gift of evangelism, but we all are witnesses. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and he said, you shall be witnesses for me to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So all of us may not be evangelists, but all of us are witnesses. And that's what we've been studying together. So we need to understand what God's Word teaches. We're all witnesses. The second thing we saw was that many Christians, and this is so easy, we've all been there, have misplaced priorities. We struggle sometimes just because of the worries of life. Stuff, life just happens. And if we're not careful, we'll wind up struggling and working through stuff, and it'll distract us, and we'll have lost people living and working all around us, and we won't even care. Or so we don't think. It doesn't appear that we care. It doesn't seem to faze us. Or perhaps it's because of deceitfulness of wealth or riches. Sometimes, you know, we get in America, we have a lot of stuff. We've been blessed phenomenally. And yet the reality is that sometimes the more stuff you get, the more stuff you got to do what? Take care of. The more stuff you got to tend to. You got to keep running. You got to keep it fixed. You got to keep it clean. You got to keep it mowed. You got to keep it painted. There's always something to do. And before you know it, your whole life is consumed taking care of stuff, of your possessions. And then certainly we saw in the latter part of that the desires for other things. Some people, their pursuit of anything else, they just continue on their trek, completely oblivious to those around them who do not know Jesus Christ. Completely, seemingly unconcerned that they have an eternity. And that's where we go. That's the third point in the first week we spent together. Most Christians forget about the fate of lost people. We tend to forget that those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will spend eternity separated from an incredibly loving Creator God who has done everything possible to bring them into right relationship with Him. And so we left that first week just praying, okay, Lord, help us to be sensitive and help us to be alert and aware of the lost around us and develop within us a heart of compassion for the lost. And then as we studied the second week, we went on and we began to look and talked about testimonies. And one of the things that we did is that, you know, not everybody has these big flamboyant testimonies. You know, you read the Apostle Paul, his life. Man, he used to go out and pursue Christians. He actually was there when Stephen was stoned. I mean, just think of that. I mean, the testimony. And on the way to Damascus, as he had received letters, permission to go to try to get some more people, more Christians, and bring them back into captivity, put them in jail, the Lord came down and shone a light around him and knocked him off the back of the mule and put him on the ground. And all of a sudden, he was converted to Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty dramatic, okay? Most of us haven't had that kind of dramatic thing happen in our life. So most of us say, well, I don't have that kind of testimony. Or maybe you know somebody that's been, they were saved from all of this stuff. And you think, well, I just don't really have a testimony. Well, that second week, we kind of saw what Scripture said. And you remember what Scripture said about that? Scripture said we may not have that dramatic testimony, but no matter what age we are, no matter how old we are, you know, if we, you know, when we are born on planet Earth, we are born what? You remember? Remember what they were? Lost, blind, wicked, dead, and the enemies of God. Every person on planet Earth is those five things according to the Word of God. We need to remember that. So in our life before Christ, we need to realize that's where we've come from. I was lost, praise God, was, like that past tense, don't you? I was spiritually blind. I could not see and understand spiritual truths. I was wicked. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was an enemy of God. And then Jesus saved us. God came into our lives and forgave us and changed us. So that second week, we learned that we do have a testimony, and certainly we celebrated it. And last week, what we did, and I don't know if you guys remember, hope you did, we took last week, and we began to look back at your story. We started in Acts 26, and we looked there, and we saw the life of the Apostle Paul. And there in Acts 26, he gave, here is his testimony. And y'all remember what he did? His life before he met Jesus. That was the first part of it. The middle part was how he met Jesus. And then the third part was his life since he met Jesus. That's the testimony. And so last week what we did is we all took time and we just began to write our own testimony, or we'd say our story. And so we took 3 5-minute segments last week and we wrote out your story. And the way we ended it, we had several of you just at random, as the Lord would have it, stood up and just read their story. Now, I don't know, were you guys blessed by that last week? That blessed me. It always blesses me to see who does it, because it's always different in how God works through the Holy Spirit. But then we left off last week with the challenge. And I challenged you to make a commitment, okay? I challenged you to make a commitment to share your story. Now, listen to me carefully. I'm not talking about giving out tracts. That wasn't the challenge for last week. Nothing wrong with giving out tracts. We're going to be practicing that in the coming weeks. I'm going to talk about that later on. But I didn't ask you last week to go give out tracts. I'm not talking about inviting somebody to church. That's a good thing as well. I want you to invite folks to church. But that was not the challenge last week. The challenge last week was for you to share your story. Remember? Wasn't that where we were at? For you to share your story of your life before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and your life since you met Jesus. So what I want to do this morning, I want maybe one or two volunteers. We'll look at time. I just want to hear somebody. Did any of you share your story this week? I want somebody to tell me about them sharing their story. So who would be willing to share that with us this morning? Who shared their story? Okay, come on, Miss Nancy. I'll come to you. How's that? I do want you to stand up. Yes. No, okay, I'll tell you what. Yes, go ahead, sister.
Okay, we on? Okay. I went to get my hair done, so I shared with my beautician about the story, just a brief story that I've shared before, how my mom didn't drive and my dad didn't go to church, so I was a bus kid. Mm. So I have a special heart for bus kids and for those people that work in that ministry. The story that I shared with her was about I would go down to the road every Sunday and catch the bus. This particular Sunday, to give you a little thing before that, I had a dog that I loved very much, and this dog was pregnant, and the dog was missing. Just so happened that Sunday, as I walked to the road, I saw that my dog had been hit and killed. So you have to realize when I rode the bus, this man did not know me, did not know who I was. So I got on the bus, and I've made reference to him as being a large man and telling you that his heart was as large as he is. I got on the bus, sat down, shared with him a little bit about what had happened, and I'm shaking.
It's
all right. As I sit down, you know, as you're the bus driver, you see this mirror and you can see the face of the bus driver. As I was sitting there, the bus driver, big tears were coming down his face. And you have to understand, up to this point, that's the only Jesus I knew. I didn't know much about Jesus. So that really impressed me that this man cared about me so much that he was sharing in my grief. So that was a big impact in my life. And then with a dear friend that invited me to go to church. And that was just real special to me. And that had an impact in my life. And I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen.
And I got it all sweaty for
That's
you. That's
okay, sister. No problem. All right. Anybody else share their story this week? Anybody? Brother Bill. Let's hear about you sharing your story. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's nothing big or anything, but I prayed about it, like, in the beginning of the week, because, like, I got out of church, so I'm all charged up. Ooh, I'm going to share my testimony. And so the Lord gave me two people in my head that, you know, maybe I should share this with. And so, of course, the whole week went by, and I'm a slacker, so I didn't share my testimony with, like, anybody. So Saturday morning, I'm throwing up a Hail Mary, you know, sort of figuratively, of course, not literally. God, please, you know, give me two people I can
I love that.
I can share my testimony with. And so at the end of the day, about 8 o'clock at night, lo and behold, the two people who were in front of me were the exact two people that Amen. God told me to share my testimony with earlier. So I said, hey, glad you guys are here. I said, need you to help me with something I'm doing at church. And so I shared my testimony with them.
Praise God.
And that one dude was like looking at me like the Holy Spirit was like talking to him. The other dude was just Amen. Like, are you done yet? So it was good.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, listen, everybody has a story. Y'all remember last week what we learned is that as we develop this, it's not about the story. Everybody's story or experience and how we came to faith in Jesus Christ is a little different. But the key is that we're wrapping the gospel with our story. And we're trying to bring other people to encounter the Word of God through the gospel. And I had the same event Bill had as well. I've been praying all week, same thing. I got two for one, Brother Bill. That's what I call it, two for one. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, and I've saw several of your quotes or your comments on Facebook this week, too. That's great. Please keep it up, and we'll continue to do that in weeks to come. Now, one of the things that often hinders people, and we want to talk about this morning. I don't think I need that, do I? One of the things that often hinders people is fear. And today, as I said last week, I want to spend time with you helping you develop the ability to rise above fear. Now, we're going to spend a bit of time this morning. Actually, it's seven different things we're going to talk about. Why in the world are we afraid? Well, let's talk about that for just a little bit. Phobia. Ever heard the word phobia? Yeah, many of us have. And the word phobia, it's a persistent or abnormal or illogical fear of a specific thing or a situation. So we're going to have a little fun here this morning, okay? We're going to start with this, okay? Ophidophobia. I'll bet you we have some folks in here that are ophidophobics. How you like that word? I even got that out after Mike Will. That's amazing. Okay? There's a better one coming. You just wait. Anybody know what ophidophobia is? It's the fear of snakes. My wife has this. Tony McKinney has this, okay? If you want to get Brother Tony, throw a snake on him. Even a rubber one makes him panic, okay? But I'll never forget walking out of church one time it was Emin Road Baptist Church over in Greensboro, and I'm watching my wife walk to the car, and she gets out there and she starts doing this. And I'm going, what in the world is she doing? Well, by the time one of them old country girls, which my wife was a country girl, but Darlene was her name, ran up and grabbed it and picked it up with a big old snake. And what happened, my wife just about stepped on that snake, and she was getting ready to pass out. Had she stepped on that snake, it would have been over. Because she has the fear, she has the ophidophobia. She has the fear of snakes. How about cacophobia? This is big. This is the fear of ugliness. This is what the whole cosmetic industry is built upon, okay? Aviophobia. Anybody know what that is? Fear of flying. Some people will drive 44 hours straight to not have to take a 30-minute airplane flight. Anybody here admit you have aviophobia? There you go, brother. See, Pastor Nunn, Dennis Nunn, who wrote this information, he said his wife has that as well. He said, man, she'll get into a plane, and everything is good. And he says, she's sitting there, and we'll have prayer, and God's got you, sweetheart. And he told this one story. He said he's having this debate with her in the plane. And he goes, honey, listen, God's not going to take everybody. If we all go, we're going together, we all know where we're going. She said, yeah, but what if he wants to take just the pilot? Dennis said, I didn't have anything to say to that one. But you understand, I mean, that's a legitimate fear. Mine, I couldn't find it, Tim. I have a fear of jumping spiders, okay? I will hurt you if you throw a jumping spider on me, okay? There's nothing worse than being underneath the house and about that much crawl space, and there's one looking me in the eye, okay? And we'll pass on that one. How's that? How about phylacrophobia? Anybody know that one? It's the fear of baldness, okay? The fear of baldness. There's a whole industry built on that one as well. We won't go there, okay? How about pantherophobia? Paul, let me back up and say that one again. Pantherophobia. There it is. You're going to love this one. Man, this is the fear of your mother-in-law. And man, you can just send me an anonymous email. Let me know you have that if you'd like, okay? Oh, amen. How about the fear? It's called glossophobia. Anybody know what that is? Pardon? It's glossophobia. It's actually the fear of public speaking, okay? Speaking out. It's exactly right. Very good. And then here's the biggie. I'm going to see if I can get sesquipedophobia. Not a good night to take NyQuil. Sesquipedophobia. Woo! Woo! Y'all know what that one is. You want me to do it again, Mark? You like that, don't you? No, I can't hear Rich. I tune him out. He's on a frequency I don't have. What is that, Rich?
Fear of one word.
That's exactly right. Good job. He's right. Amen. Lou, you are getting through to him. That's good. Keep it up, darling. That's great. It's exactly right. Now, here's another one. Witnessophobia. I think Dennis made this one up, okay? I believe the guy made it. It's the fear of witnessing, okay? How do we overcome it? I mean, have you ever been there? In fact, I'll bet you this week, if you purpose to say, I'm going to share my testimony, Okay? I'm going to share my story. When you came up to the moment of truth, you had a wall there. Any of you have that happen? I did several times. Sure. You had that wall come up, and fear began to engage. So what do you do with it? Well, that's, first of all, I want to talk about that today. We're going to look at it together because we're going to talk about how you can overcome it. And here's the first thing. Understand this, guys. Fear is normal. Fear is normal, okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you this week how not to be afraid, because you're going to be afraid. I can tell you that right now. If you start to share your story, but the more you come to this bridge of fear and cross over it, the more you'll realize is that fear doesn't have power over you. But right now, I want you to understand that it's normal to have fear. Most people have it. Some people don't. They have other types of fear, but we're talking about the fear of witnessing right now. So understand, it's very, very normal. Let's just talk about some things in the Bible that we know. Some of the greats, okay? Some of the patriarchs of the Word of God. Abraham. Was Abraham ever afraid? Well, according to Genesis chapter 12 and according to Genesis chapter 20, the very father of faith was afraid. Twice, once in Egypt and another with Abimelech, he came into their countries, came into their cities, and he told his dear wife, he said, listen, tell them you're my sister. Because you know what? They look at you, you're a beautiful woman, and they're probably going to get me, and they're going to take me and cut my arms off and cut my tongue out and gouge my eyes out so they can have you as their wife. Now, he didn't go into all that detail, but you know what he did do? He said, look, tell a half-truth, which is a whole lie, because I'm afraid. Even though God had given him the promise in Genesis 12 that I'm going to do all these things for you and through you, Abraham was then given the opportunity to take a step of faith. And what did he do? Fear controlled him. And so what happened is we understand that Abraham was fearful. How about Moses in Exodus chapter 2? I think it's around verse 14, though. You remember what happened to Moses? He'd been on the backside of the desert for a while. And all of a sudden he sees this burning bush. And he said, man, that's different. That's weird. I'm going to go check this thing out. So he comes to the bush, and all of a sudden he hears a voice, and God says, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. And he begins to speak to him, and God begins to challenge him and says, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to go back to Egypt and tell them that I have sent you, and I want you to tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, what the Word of God says, Moses did, is that Moses then said, hold this, back up, back his train up, God. I can't speak good. I don't speak fluently. And he began to excuse and say, I can't do this. You remember that? What was the real thing behind all that? Fear. He was fearful. Why had he left Egypt? He was running for his life because he had murdered a man. And he knew for him to go back, he was going to run the potential risk that there would still be a bounty out for him perhaps. Either way, he was still fearful. And so we see Abraham was fearful. Moses was fearful. How about Elijah? Man, we love to talk about in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We love, or 18 and 19, talk about the prophets of Baal and their encounter with Elijah. With the jawbone of an ass, certainly he slew 450 prophets. We see God do miracles through this man. And the very next chapter, chapter 19, Jezebel hears what he did to the prophets of Baal and says, I'm going to come and I'm going to kill you. So what is this guy who just did a supernatural work of God, slew 450 prophets of Baal, what does he do when he hears Jezebel's warning? He ran. He hid. Wow, why did he do that? He's fearful. He encountered fear, so what did he do? Even though he was a brave warrior. Then you got Peter in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. We have Paul, and that's the one we're going to look at this morning. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, when I come to you, brothers, I didn't come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you, notice what he said, in weakness and fear and much trembling. Matter of fact, one other place he says it in 2 Corinthians 7, for when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, and notice what he said, fears within. So let me just say this. When you face fear, don't let Satan take the club out and start beating you in the brain with that, okay? I want you to understand the first thing that we see very clearly in the scriptures is that fear is normal. And if we're honest with each other, we all get fearful. We all have been there, okay? So understand that, all right? Number one, fear is normal. The second thing that we can do to defeat fear is to ask our friends to pray for us, to pray for you, okay? Now, again, we see that fleshed out in the Bible, in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Paul said, pray also for me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So what's he asking his friends to do? Paul was asking his fellow believers to pray for him that he would stand boldly and proclaim the gospel. So all of us face fear. As long as we understand that it's normal, then one of the ways we can get through, well, one is have others praying for us, and also that will help hold us accountable. Because if I know a brother or a sister is praying for us to be able to share the gospel, in fact, I've shared that with some of our teenagers on Wednesday nights that meet with us and pray, that when we have gathered together to pray, I'll tell them some specific people that I want to see saved, and I want to see the Lord open the door for me to share the gospel with. And what oftentimes they'll ask me on Wednesday nights, Pastor, have you been able to connect with so-and-so this week? You know what it is? That's called accountability. That's a good thing, okay? That is a great thing. So when you share that with a friend, well, that friend is praying for you about that. And so it also is kind of a little bit of a spur to go ahead and look for that opportunity. Now, we're going to talk about that just for a second. There tend to be two extremes in praying for the lost. And I'll just say this. Some Christians never pray for the lost. Some Christians don't even think about it. They're so wrapped up in themselves and their world and their lives and their circumstances. They don't have to be bad things. They're just so wrapped up in their life that they don't even think about the lost around them. That's tragic, but it's true. And in fact, I'm sure there are some here in our church here today. My prayer in the coming days and months and years is that we develop a culture of evangelism in our church, that all of us will have a heart, that we'll understand that's why we're still here. When he's done with us reaching the lost, guess where we're going? We're going to heaven. We're going home. He doesn't want the church to stay here and just build up bigger buildings and more structures and have more parties and fellowships where we all get together. He wants the church to be left behind so we can share the gospel. And when we reach the last one, whichever number that is, whichever person that is, whatever country, nationality it is, God's taking his church home. That's coming, okay? The culture here, though, is we want to have a burden. But you know what? Sadly, some don't even pray. Don't even think about the lost around them. They work with lost people every day. My prayer is God will create that kind of a heart in us where we will be burdened for those around us that do not know him. The second extreme, one side is, and some never pray, some Christians pray for the lost but never share the gospel. I learned that years and years ago when I was in my first church. I'd talk with people and talk about their loved ones, and they'd say, yeah, I've got a lost so-and-so. So-and-so is a friend or a neighbor or a family member. And they'll say, will you pray for them or will you come over and share the gospel? And usually I love to share the gospel. I love to tell people what Christ has done in my life. I love to see people saved, as I'm sure most of you do as well. But what I've also found is that sometimes people will pray for the lost that are very close to them, but will never share the gospel with them. They will never share the gospel. I heard a pastor one time say this. He said he had a lady come to him and say, I want you to come and share the gospel with so-and-so in my family. And they said, well, will you do that? And he said, well, yeah, I will, but how about this? Have you ever shared the gospel with them? And they said, well, no. He said, how about I pray this? How about I pray that God give you the love and the boldness you need and the opportunity to share your Jesus with them? Ah, it's a different way of thinking of it, isn't it? See, if you believe Acts 1, that we are all witnesses, there are people that will listen to you that will never listen to me. I get that. I understand that. That doesn't bother me because I walk in and somebody goes, there's a preacher. How they know that, I don't know because I'm wearing blue jeans and a ball cap, okay? But you know what? And they'll shut the door, boom, just like that when I walk in the room. But you know what? You walk in the room and the door's still open to their heart and you could share what your journey's been all about and God could get the gospel into their heart. You see, as we pray, and as you ask someone to pray for you, ask them to pray that God give you the love and the boldness that you need to share your story, your witness, your testimony, if you would, okay? So here we go. Third one now. Expect to face opposition. Expect that. In fact, someone even, Brother Terry even said that this week as we were talking. Terry's been having he's had a rough week or so, I think, now, and it's just been tough on him. Y'all pray for him and pray for Don as well. But I was talking to him Friday, and he said, "Brother, I believe this is all related to the gospel being shared through our local church. I believe Satan's opposing this body of believers." I have to agree. And you know, you don't say, well, what's sickness got to do with that? Sickness got a lot to do with that. The enemy will do everything within his power, okay, to keep us from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. And there are many different things that can happen, so expect it. It's going to happen. Don't be shocked when it happens in your camp. In fact, one of the things that we're going to see this morning in John 15, listen to what he says. "Do you remember what I told you? A servant is not greater than a master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you." Now think about that. That's the Lord Jesus doing the talking there. They persecuted him. Why in the world should we not expect them to persecute us? This is where the rubber hits the road now, because really we've got to understand that if we're out playing golf and ping pong with people, when you're never concerned about their condition, their spiritual condition, and you're just kind of cruising down the road, laughing with them, joking with them, never concerned their lost condition, never concerned. Satan's not going to usually mess with you. But you start praying about sharing your faith with a lost person, and the enemy's going to rise up on it. That doesn't bother me. I love being where the bullets are flying. You know why? Because that's where God does his greatest work. That's where God has to intervene for us to see the work take place. That's the greatest place to see the power of God unleashed. So understand, expect it. Expect to face opposition. Write this verse down, 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Some of you may already have memorized that. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. It's what Paul told Timothy. Timothy had a fearful heart. It was rather sound. It seems like he was a rather timid pastor or elder. And what we find is that Paul oftentimes had to encourage him. He challenged him. I'll just read to you this. And we hear these all the time. We certainly, if you've read, and we'll be reading another one here in a little bit. U.S. missionary slain in Lebanon. The victim, 31, gunned down at a clinic where she worked. Bonnie Penner Witherall and her husband were members of the evangelist group Operation Mobilization. How many of you have heard of that wonderful organization? Great organization, which has its U.S. headquarters in Atlanta. Investigators believe a gunman knocked at the door of the clinic and shot Penner with a 7mm pistol. Her body was found lying in a pool of blood with 3 gunshot wounds to the head. But a Palestinian guerrilla official said the killing was to avenge her Christian evangelist activities in a Muslim town. Dan faces that. VJ faces that. Several of our missionaries are in very hostile regions where they are sharing the gospel. Quite frankly, we've not seen that level here yet. It rarely costs us much other than someone having an attitude or maybe running their mouth a little bit. Persecution on us has not been bad yet. We'll see what God has planned for us in the future. I'll just say this. Expect it. It's going to happen. But the goal is not, well, I'm going to withdraw because I may face opposition. The goal is not that I'm comfortable. The goal is that my loved one, my friend, my family member comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that I get to share the good news with them. All right, now I want you to notice the next one. Focus. Number 4, focus on your rewards. Rewards. Now, we often don't think about that. There's something about that that we often say, man, should Christians really think about that? Should we really be focused? Yes. Throughout Scripture, we see it over and over where God has promised certain things as we walk and journey by faith in Him. In fact, if you would, just read with me as we talk about the eternal rewards. That's one of the biggies. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:8, if you would. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Now, let me just have a couple of volunteers. Let me get Brother Michael Garrison, if you would, come up here a minute. Brother Frank London, would you come here just a second? Andy, can you scoot up over here, buddy? I'm going to borrow you two. All right, here's what we're going to do. I am a lost man, okay? Come here. I want you guys to stand here and face the congregation. Here's what's going to happen. I'm a lost man. I've never heard the gospel. I live right down the street from a church. And Brother Frank's going to be the pastor of it, okay? Now, Brother Frank has got a burden for the lost in the community, so he starts to come to my door, knocking on my door. Brother Michael is a neighbor of mine. He lives next door, who happens to be a Christian. He don't go to Frank's church because they used to go to Harmony Baptist together, but they split, okay? Got to have some fun with life, aren't we? Hilarious. They don't go to church together, but Mike has a burden for my soul, too. Mike wants to see me saved, okay? So we got a pastor. We got a concerned neighbor who's a Christian. And here's Randy, the bearded wonder. Today, Randy and I work together, and Randy's gone to Bible college. He wants to see this old lost friend of his saved, the guy he co-worker saved. So now, here's what happens. Here's the pastor. So I'm at home. The pastor comes. He knocks on the door. I kind of give him a, you know how we do pastors, right? We kind of give him the arm's length, especially lost. Any of you remember when you were lost? Yeah, Bill does. Bill, I can remember several. You know, Bill was one of them, but others said, yeah, if he comes in the front door, I'm going out the back. You know, pretty much that's the attitude. Well, I'll let him come in. He ain't going to sit down for long because I got something going on. I'll make something up if I have to because I'm lost, right? So he comes in, shares the gospel with me. He leaves. I don't trust the Lord. Here's Mike. He's my next-door neighbor. On Saturday, I'm out washing my car. He comes in. He shares the good news with me as well. He comes across there and says he helps me wash my car, helps me dry it down. And while he's talking, he's sharing with me about his faith in Jesus. Then on Monday morning, I go to work. I'm just trying to make a decent living here. And here comes this other crazy Christian. This guy works with me. And he's telling me about this Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you don't have to get up, Glenna. I don't want to embarrass you. But then here's Glenna. She's a lady that works at the restaurant where I eat breakfast, okay? In fact, the name of the place is G's, okay? Don't know if Glenna owns it or not, but she's awful sweet. And she serves my breakfast, and every morning as I give her a tip, she just talks, and she'll talk to me about different things, and then she talks to me one day about Jesus. Let's just say Frank's been coming for years. My neighbor's been reaching out for years. And Randy, as the Lord allows our paths to cross at work, he will share it. And then one day as I walk into the restaurant, she shares the gospel with me. And right there that day, God the Holy Spirit pierces my heart. I bow the head, and I trust Jesus Christ to save me. I want you to understand something. What we're seeing in this passage, one man plants, another waters, another only God gives the increase. He could have planted every day for a month or a year or 10 years. I think it's Justin Hensley's case. 50 years she prayed for her husband to come to faith in Christ. There was a lot of people in that link of that chain before the Lord finally got that heart. It's not about, and that's what we get wrapped up in oftentimes, is we get so wrapped up in, well, we got to see them saved. Well, yeah, you want them saved, but we don't have any control over that. All we're responsible, the pastor's to do what the pastor does. The neighbor does what the neighbor does. And the co-worker does what the co-worker does. And the Christian business person does what the Christian business person does. But they all have the common goal to see this lost man encounter Jesus and enjoy the blessings and the benefits of Christ Jesus in their life. Thank you all very much. Give these guys a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. That's the easiest thing they'll ever do, isn't it? Amen. So what I want you to see, guys, is that if you focus on the reward, and what's the reward? Well, first of all, the reward is an eternal reward. We're going to get to see brothers and sisters in heaven eternally. I happen to believe this. This is my opinion, and it's based upon Revelation and several other passages when we see in Scripture heaven. I happen to believe heaven's better than here. Now, some of us act like here is the best it's going to get. Well, you need to open up your eyes. If this is the best we're going to get, I give up, okay? This ain't the best it's going to get. The best is on the other side, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the glory of heaven is Christ himself, and heaven is going to be one of them places, like Mark said on Wednesday night. This incredible encounter with God who has loved us this whole journey. The eternal blessings of seeing people come to Christ is what it's all about. Seeing them encounter him. One passes it on, another does another work, another does another work. Don't get all wrapped up. Well, I shared the gospel. They didn't do nothing. They looked at me. I shared mine this week, shared my story, and that's like Bill, like you can see it on their face. Listen, we've been there. When I got to the, and Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and God raised him from the third day so that I could be forgiven for my sin, the guy's color drained right out of his face. He was trying to grin. You ever tried to grin when you were like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? He was trying to grin, and I'm sitting there in my inside sharing this good news going, boy, God, you're getting him right now, I can tell you. When I got done, I didn't get up and say, well, what do you think about that? I just got up and said, thank you, and I called his name, gave him a high five, thanks for letting me share my story. Went over to the young lady I was sharing it with as well. I said the same thing to her. Y'all have a blessed day. I'll see you again soon. I tucked right on out the door. You know what I did? All the way to the car. I'm saying, thank you, God. Now it's between you and them. See, I was just a seed sower. Now, I have been to homes where you walk in and somebody's sitting there. I can remember one that Ada Suits used to witness. She's a dear, dear lady in our former church, that just a sweet, sweet, godly woman. And she had been wearing her friend out with the gospel for years. And I walked into her house, that lady's house. She said, would you come visit so-and-so? She wants to talk to you about the Lord. I went into her house, and that woman sitting there with the Bible, I literally thought she was going to crawl into the Bible. She got right here. She was every word falling off. Every time I read it, she was just, wow, just consuming it. Well, what had happened? Somebody planted some seeds. Somebody had watered it. And it was that night for her was the night for her to be harvested. God saved her that night. Those don't always happen. Matter of fact, I've sown a lot more seeds than I have seen the harvest. But that's okay, because it's not about us. We're only responsible for sowing the seed. So there is the eternal reward. Then we also want to see today that there's also an earthly reward. Remember back, earthly reward as well. And that's what I want you to see this. This is what he said in Philemon 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Wow. Notice how he connected those together. That you're active in sharing your faith, that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. What happens is, because this is exactly why the church is still here, he wants us to tell the story. He wants us to share the story. Cloak the gospel in your story and share it with others, because God wants people to hear about his son. In fact, there was one preacher down in Texas that made that exact statement. He said, you know what? God will bless anyone who brags on his son. I happen to believe that to be true. When you're bragging on the Lord Jesus, when you're giving him glory, when you're giving him praise, God blesses you. In fact, I've got a little note here in my page here for me. The second greatest thing, you know, for me, the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life was not my first birth. And as great as my marriage has been, 37 years this week, I think it was Curtis and Yolanda had 27 years this week, I think it was. They were 10 years behind us, I think. The greatest things that ever happened to my life is Jesus Christ saving me. The greatest things that ever happened to me. Now, we've been blessed. You've been blessed. The second greatest thing, you ever led anybody to the Lord? Does it not sweep your heart full of joy? Does it not just bless your socks off when you see someone else, when you encounter someone else coming to faith in Jesus Christ? There's a joy that comes that you can't explain. It's just incredible. And it's all because you're able to see that transforming work of Jesus Christ again. So number four was focus on your rewards. Now here's one that I thought as we went through this. What often happens, we have the win them mentality. And what we're learning today is forsake that. Let it go. It's not about, and certainly we understand, he that winneth souls is wise. We understand that principle. But we have to understand that not everybody gets to win them. Some people are massive seed sowers. Some people are massive waterers. Some people do get to see a lot of the harvest, and that's a blessing. But I want you to understand, and that's what he says here in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3. What? After all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe. As the Lord has assigned each to his task, I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's not about me and you at all. We're all just a part of the plan, the great and incredible plan from God. There has to be, and this is where I think we've gotten in trouble in American Christianity. We've gotten the win them mentality. If you'll just pray the sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer hadn't ever saved anybody. Walking an aisle has never saved anybody. The Bible says in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. That word born again means born from above. Salvation is not a work of man. Salvation is a work of God. And so what we're doing is we share the gospel, the dynamite stick. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, what happens is we plant within that heart the seeds that can explode into eternal life as God waters, as God cultivates, and then as God brings it to fruition. It is a work of God. You and I don't have any, our only responsibility is to be witnesses. It's to share our story. Understand, you are joining with God in His work. To me, that takes all the pressure off of it. We get so wrapped up. I got to share the story 2 times this week. Relax. Got it on my board right now. Relax. Simply this. Lord, I've written my testimony out. Open the door for me to share the testimony. Give me boldness. Believe me. When He's got you where He wants you and the person lined up with you, you will know you're supposed to share your story with that person. Bill said, what a coincidence. And the people are in front of me. No coincidence. That's God. It's not about you making something happen. God's going to make it happen. We're just joining with God in His work. That's what's so exciting about it. That's what makes it such an adventure. Remember this, guys. Eternal life is a free gift. Okay? It is God's gift to man. And it's awesome. And it's that which He's entrusted to us. He has given us the great privilege, not to win them, but to share of this incredible gift that He's given. That's what He wants us to do. So that leads us to the next point. Don't forget that we're sharing good news. We act like we're going into somebody's house or we're going across to speak to a friend or a family member and we're gonna do something really horrible to them. The word gospel itself means good news. In fact, the one passage that he's quoted here is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. I'm just going to read that to you quickly. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, and I love this, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Guys, we have great, great news. I need a volunteer who's going to have to come up here with me. I got something to do with them. I need somebody who's going to be a brave, brave volunteer. I want you to come up with you. Who will just need one? Just need one volunteer. Come on, Bill. I knew it would be you. I knew that this morning when I did this. Come on up here. Come on up here, brother man. I appreciate your willingness to come. He's fearless. Well, I got something for you. I want you to open that up. This is a gift. Okay, what is that?
$20.
$20. That's a gift to you. It's free.
Thank you.
All what you have to do for it.
We're going to Biscuitville.
I'm thinking, that's KK money there, baby. Krispy Kreme. Amen. So, now that's just a free gift. Did you do anything to get it?
Nope.
You just received what I gave you. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy? Yeah. I was thinking 100, but I thought, nah, I ain't got it. That's my 20.
So, made me happier.
That would have made you happier, but nah, I ain't giving you that. Okay. Enjoy that 20 on me. No. You take it on. No. It won't be a gift if you don't. Go on. He's good. It's all right. Go on. So what am I just done? I just made Bill hunt. Now, next time somebody says, dog, why didn't I come up there? Okay. Hey, that's right. It's what you get. Takes faith, right? I enjoyed giving that 20 away. And yes, for those of you who are going, did he take that money out of the church? Let me answer that for you. No, he didn't. It came out of that wallet that's in his room locked up right now. And I want him to keep it and enjoy it because I want you to teach a principle there. God has given us the greatest gift ever given, eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, if I had $1 million and I said, here, I got $1,000 for you, and said, I want you to give it away by this afternoon. And you say, do I have to? Yes. Give it away by this afternoon. It didn't cost you a thing. You freely received it, so now you're freely giving it away. What would most of you guys do? You'd give it away. And wouldn't it be fun? It'd be a blast. I'd love to do that. I saw this week on one of my news things I was reading, and it said somebody received a $1,000 tip. Man, they made a big, I mean, it hit front page. It's gone like viral. $1,000 tip. Psh, that's nothing. I received eternal life. There's no comparison, stupid $1,000. $1,000 is going to mean nothing 100 years from now. But I can tell you what, the free gift that I received in Jesus Christ, all because I can't even remember the man's name, and that breaks my heart. All because one Sunday school teacher that I had visited from time to time, about twice a year, came to my house and says, you know what, our records indicate you've never been saved. I said, what's saved? What are you talking about? And he told me about what Jesus had done. That I was a sinner. I knew that. And that Jesus would forgive me for my sins and set me free. And he told me, if you'll bow here, right here, and you believe on Jesus Christ, he'll save you. It's the greatest gift I've ever received. My life has never been the same. Hadn't been perfect. Hadn't been easy. Matter of fact, it's not even easy now. Y'all have heard even this week. My daughter said this week, Daddy, I can't do this roller coaster thing up and down. I said, better get used to it. That's life with Jesus. Because we're still right here, no matter what. Sometimes he does this, sometimes he does this, sometimes it's like this. I mean, thankfully he's not doing this yet, okay? But what I want you to see, guys, is what we have is good news. And what Satan says, if we all, in our minds, we're trying to work through all these crazy thoughts and things. And, you know, why have I got to, I can't do that. What if they do this? Don't quit that. Stop. You got $1 million to give away. Give it. Just freely give. You freely receive, freely give it. And what you're going to find as you do that, guys, it's going to be incredible. Imagine, now most of you know my wife's got cancer. Now this week, thank God, the Lord seems to have taken away a 2.5-inch tumor. I can't wait to see if they try to, I hope they go in there in a couple weeks and the other one's missing, okay? But may not be. My wife's sister's got cancer. She's going in the morning. You could pray for her in the morning if you would. But you know what? If I had a cure for cancer, and I'm telling you, I mean, I've heard from so many of you, and so many of your lives, our lives have been touched by that horrible disease. If you had a cure for cancer, what would you do with it? Would you pour it in your bottle and take it and kind of hide it so nobody could be blessed by it, so no one could be freed from the wickedness, if you would, of that disease? I kind of doubt that. You would take it and you would pour that out and you would run to everybody you knew and you would pour it and pour it and pour it and pour it and pour it. Well, we've got something much greater than a cure for cancer. We've got the cure for sin, and it's Jesus Christ. So don't forget, guys, don't forget. It's good news. And then lastly, finally, for you and I, it still is, remember, it is an obedience issue. It is an obedience issue. One of the passages that we read in the book of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." In fact, if that's the heart of Christ, when Christ came to this earth, yes, he was a great teacher. He was a healer. He was a mighty miracle worker. I mean, incredible things that he did. We've seen that in our study in John, which we'll get back to after this series. But one of the things we know is that he came for the express purpose of saving lost, saving the lost. And here's what he said later on, because Jesus said this, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." For you and I, witnessing is simply understanding that this is our privilege and it is our responsibility. Yes, pastors should be sharing the gospel. Yes, elders should be sharing the gospel. Yes, deacons should be sharing the gospel. Yes, men should be sharing the gospel. Yes, women should be sharing the gospel. But all Christians are witnesses. We're all called to go into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to face fear. That's going to happen. But the reality is, how do you face the fear? You go on and do what you've been asked to do. In the military, those of you, some of you came through Vietnam, others were, Korea, and some others, perhaps Afghanistan, Iraq. I can assure you, if I had testimony today, you guys faced a time of fear in your life. One of my favorite stories back there is Sarah back there has been visiting our church. I got to tell this, Sarah, you know I couldn't not do this. I'm glad you brought your hubby today. I've been having a lot of fun with your wife. Listen, do never give her duct tape, okay? Okay? Sarah was in the military. Her and her husband both were in the military, and they were in military maneuvers. Is it in Korea? Is that correct? If I tell this incorrectly, you correct me, okay? Long story short, they were doing military exercises. Now, Sarah's, she looks like she can hold her own. Especially now. I told her I'll never talk bad about her again, okay? I haven't before. But Sarah said that she was in the foxhole. They had to dig that foxhole out there tonight. And one team, you know, they were playing teams against each other. So one of the guys drove up on the opposite team, got out of a Humvee, actually came stumbling through cross country and fell into her foxhole. So what does Sarah do? She beats him up. Then she tapes him up with duct tape, and he's in there running his mouth to her. So what does she do then? She tapes his mouth shut. Then it gets better. Then she gets up out of the foxhole and steals his Humvee and takes it back to her side. That's what I'm talking about. Why were they doing these exercises? They were training so that if they ever had to do it, because I can tell you right now that your husband would want you clubbing somebody who jumped into your foxhole if it was indeed an enemy. He'd want you beating them up, duct taping them, okay, and leaving them in the foxhole if it was a real enemy. Okay, you did great. Why were they practicing? They were practicing so that when they got into the heat of battle, it would come instinctively. So why are we doing this? You got to practice. We got to practice, okay? Because we have been sent into the world. And I say, a lot of people say, well, man, this takes 7 weeks. Yes, it does. Whatever it takes, we've got to practice. We've got to practice this. We've got to learn that this is normal. Fear is normal. And we face it together. But when it comes down to it, it's an obedience. Will we choose to obey the Lord? And I'll say this, and I love the way it works out, because as we work through this today, I want you to think this through. What's next? What's now? What are we going to do next? Well, let's just walk through this. Based on what we have just seen in God's Word, what should you and I do today? James 1:22 says it this way: do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. As I challenged you last week, as I encouraged you last week, and I want, listen, I'm doing this too. I'm doing this with you, and I'm facing the same fears you are, but I'm looking forward to me seeing what God's going to do in you and through you and in me and through me to the lives of those we encounter this week. Here's our challenge. Make the decision to defeat your fears. How do you do it? Walk across the bridge. Don't turn from it. Walk across the bridge. One of the illustrations this week that we have is this young boy. I don't know how much of it you can see, but they killed this young boy's entire family. They threw him into the fire, a burning fire, and they left him to die. Why in the world would this young man suffer such cruelty? Well, the only reason was, and this comes from the martyr's website, pardon me. The only reason he was done this way and his family was killed was because he was a Christian. Swords were drawn, and James's mother became another victim of Sudan's National Islamic Front. His father and four brothers and sisters suffered the same fate. For some reason, James was kept alive. Later that evening, the soldiers ordered their young captive to gather wood for a fire. James thought the soldiers were preparing to cook their food. He was mistaken. After the fire had been burning for some time, the Islamic soldiers asked James if he knew any members of the opposition army. He did not. Then they ordered him to convert to the Muslim faith. James Jeddah refused, simply stating, "It is not possible. I am a Christian." Infuriated by his response, the soldiers picked up his small body and threw him on the burning flames. Although James Jetta managed to escape, the scars remain as a reminder of his faith. Guys, let's be honest. Are we going to be killed for our faith this week in America? No. Why don't we tell others about him? I'll simply say this as we work through it, guys. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So you must never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. I just encourage you to take the step of faith. And as you sign this today, knowing it's God's will, with God's help, starting right now, I will not let fear keep me from witnessing. Didn't say you wouldn't face it. You're going to face it. I face it. Even after all these years, I still face it. Now, Jimmy, has the guys got something? Have they got these ready to hand out? Okay. What I'm going to do is I want to give you these this week if we can, okay? And what they simply say, this is week 4's card, and this is how I want you to pray daily, okay? Pray every day. God, I want my friends to know Jesus the way I do. Help me defeat the fear I feel when I think about talking to them about Jesus. Now, do me a favor, guys. Join me not only praying for yourself, but will you guys join me in us praying for each other this week? Let's pray for each other. God, help our body to continue to collectively recognize that this is something you want us to do, and you're with us always, always. I love that. He is with us. So when you go out to share your story this week, and remember, that's your story. Tell them about your life before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, your life since you met Jesus. And be sure to bring back next week, and let's hear some of the stories of how you shared your faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody have one? Anybody doesn't have one, raise your hand. And guys can see you. They're coming this way, okay? I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope you'll continue to work on it. Pray with me this week. The Lord will open great doors. He'll give us boldness, and that we'll share in the love of Jesus Christ the story, our story, the gospel of Christ wrapped and clothed in your story. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to join together in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that someone shared their story with us. And because of hearing the good news of the gospel, we, many of us here today, have trusted, have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you for the great and awesome news that we have in and through Jesus, God. Now, as we go from here today, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to defeat fear and that we'll go out in simple or childlike obedience and that we'll see you work. May you give us boldness and courage, and may you bless the seed as it's sown. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.